Hi guys, and welcome back to Topic Tuesdays. If you were able to watch any of the previous episodes, then thank you so much. Your support is so appreciated. And we're back with a new episode, and I'm joined by the beautiful Ella, who has traveled all the way from Glasgow. So honestly, I'm so excited to have you here. I'm so thankful that you've traveled. It honestly means
so
the world
to, be here.
To me.
I'm excited and nervous.
We've said no need to be nervous, so it's super chill vibes. Environment. But yeah, I'm so excited to have Ella on, and we're actually going to be talking a little bit about everything. We were just having some breakfast earlier, and we were talking about just different bits of life, weren't we?
We got to catch up. We did.
And like, I think this is what this podcast is all going to be about. First of all, we're going to dive deep into this girl because she's gone a bit AWOL on us all.
I think this is actually a bit of therapy for me. Honestly, like this is how I'm going to look at this. This is therapy.
Therapy.
For me. Yeah.
Just unload it all.
Yeah.
And Ella spoke to me a little bit about a few different parts that I really just want to bring to life a little bit more, because part of it makes me actually really quite sad that you went through that. And I think we need to talk about it because I think, yeah, it's just really important. So first of all, Han, introduce yourself.
Okay, well, this is something I never do, but I'm Ella Ravenscroft Sawyers. It still feels so weird saying that, like that I'm married. I'm 26, originally from Manchester, now live in Scotland. We've been in Scotland for 6 years, and I have two beautiful boys. Gabriel is 3 and Tobias is 6 months.
They are the cutest.
Thank you.
And they look, I think they look really different in a way.
They do.
Like, I would not put them together and be like, yeah, they're brothers.
See, like on like the baby scan.
Yeah.
I knew straight away. I was like, he does not look anything like Gabriel. And I wasn't prepared to how different they were going to look.
Yeah, it's so
it
different.
It was really strange, actually.
But they're both gorgeous.
Thank you.
And living in Scotland now. So you've moved away from home.
Yeah.
Which, how is that?
Hard. It is very hard. Like, even though like Manchester's like a 3.5 hour drive, it just still feels like I'm so far away from everybody and had to make like new friends. And I am very close to like my husband's, it still feels very weird saying husband as well, husband's family. But yeah, it's really hard and it can be very lonely.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
Yeah, but I've been there for 6 years and I feel like now I'm at that point where I've like created like a nice friendship group, but it's taken me 6 years to do that.
It's like you almost have to start from the ground again.
Well, yeah, like I still keep in touch with my friends from Manchester, but obviously it's hard because we're all at different stages in life. Like I've got kids, like none of my other friends have children, so that's a whole other
ball game, isn't
absolutely.
I can relate.
Yeah. It is.
And I know we've touched on this, but there's no way you're going to move back ever, is there?
No. Scotland's my home now.
Like, she's a Scottish girl.
I am. I feel like I'm getting a Scottish twang as well sometimes when I speak. But yeah, I think Scotland's my home and...
You're loving it there.
Yeah, I love it. I do. I do really love it now. But it's taken me as long as this to feel like it is now my home.
Did you ever get homesick?
Yes. So for the first like 2 years of living in Scotland, I would work a week in Scotland and then so do like Monday... So Friday work in Scotland and then on like Sunday morning I would drive back to Manchester and do like a week
In
Manchester, do like Monday to Friday working in Manchester. So it was a lot, and I think I was doing that because I didn't really feel like Scotland was my home, and I was like, okay, well maybe I can make this work going back and forth, but it just didn't work. It was messy. It just didn't work. I was tired.
That sounds a lot.
Yeah. So when I actually made the decision of moving to Scotland full time, that was hard.
And you had to really commit.
Oh, 100%. And I had to put the effort in to make new friends and like make effort with like my husband's side of the family, because they were the only like
people I had around me.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So let's rewind. Let's go back to Ella at 18. Because at the moment you're 20. Sorry, you did just say
26.
So let's go back to Ella at 18. Take us through your story a little bit, because I think around probably... a bit after 18. I don't know when exactly you started your Instagram, but when you were kind of like influencing at your prime.
Okay.
Just take us back. It's a bit of like nostalgia going back.
How far back do you want to go? Because it's a whole story.
True, actually. Let's maybe go back to when you were 16 then, because something quite
16,
pivotal happened in your life at that point. And talk us through the journey a little bit, because I want to bring back that Ella for a while.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, I feel like my life from 16 to maybe 20 was just like a blur. It was just a bit messy. Like, in fact, it was very messy. Like, honestly, it's a whole journey for me. But okay, well, let's start at 16. So 16, I left school. Wasn't sure like what I wanted to do when I left school. Like, I wasn't academic in school, like at all. Was you academic in school?
No, but I did actually do pretty well.
I feel like I can tell you did well. Like, I feel like you...
I'm not academic at all. I was on a sports scholarship. I was really sporty and athletic, but really struggled with studying. And really? I had to like have extra tuition and just put a lot of effort in to just scrape the bare minimum.
Yeah, I mean, I
did try though.
But I mean, at least you tried.
I was a trier.
Yeah, same. I was a trier, but it just didn't happen for me. No. So left school at 16 and had no idea what I wanted to do. I actually really struggled in school. I hated school. And
me too, to be honest.
Yeah, just wasn't really like the school. It was just like girls in school weren't very nice. Mm-hmm. But I think every girl...
goes
through that in school. Yeah. I think that's just like a norm thing to happen. But left school and didn't know what I wanted to do. But at the time, my mum was doing HD brows, which at the time wasn't like a big thing. No. Nobody was doing eyebrows.
No.
So she was like smashing it. She was doing so well. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do that. So went and did the eyebrow course and started doing brows from my living room at home. Mm-hmm. And I was doing quite well. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, well, I want to take this to the next level. Like, I want to be... See, when I do something, I always want to be the best at it. I always want to be...
Your best, of course.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, so I seen there was a guy in LA that did eyebrows. And I was like, I want to be as good as this guy. And like, when I say he was doing like celebrities, like J-Lo, Kim Kardashian, I was like, I want to go and be as good as this guy. Mm-hmm. So I just reached out to him on Instagram. I was like, okay, I'm just going to do it. So I messaged him and I was like, hey, like, just started doing eyebrows. I was wondering, like, if I could maybe come and shadow you and just stand and watch and learn. I didn't think I would get a reply, but I did.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so he was like, yeah, sure, no problem. Like, would love to have you, blah, blah, blah. And he was, like, really on board with it. So, like, at this time, didn't have a lot of money, but I honestly don't know how I did it, but I booked a flight. Didn't tell my mum that I was going to LA. Well, I told her I was going to LA, but I didn't tell her where I was staying.
Okay.
I didn't actually book any accommodation. Okay. I just booked a flight, a one-way flight, and just went. And I ended up finding a hostel and just stayed like in a little hostel in LA. I didn't tell really anyone what I was doing. So stayed in this hostel and messaged this guy when I got there. And I was like, hey, like, I've arrived. Like, when can we start?
Did he ghost you?
He turned around and he said... He just switched. He was like, okay, well, if you want to stand and like watch me and learn, this is going to be like $1,500 a day.
Oh!
I was like, where did this come from? Like, you never told me that I had to pay to do this. You just said that I could come along and watch you. And like, he was really up for it. And it was just so weird the way he just turned around and was like, okay, well, you need to pay me all this money now. So I was basically stuck in LA. No money. I had no money. Like, didn't know where I was going. Didn't know what to do. And basically in this hostel that I was staying at, it was girls from like Texas, like kind of all around the world that were coming to LA to like pursue like acting careers and modeling careers.
It's and like, I feel like that's what a lot of people go to LA to do.
Yeah. So I went back and I just sat and just cried because I was like, I have no money to get home. But I didn't want to tell my mom this because I was like, she's going to freak.
Yeah.
Didn't have any money to get home. So I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to make the most of this situation that I'm in. So that's when my kind of influencing career started.
Okay.
I made friends with one of the girls that was staying like in this hostel. Mm-hmm. And it was quite, for a hostel, it was nice. Yeah. Like, it was just a big room.
Cheap hotel.
Bunk beds in there. Like, everybody just kind of shared the room. Mm-hmm. And she was like, okay, well, like, that's kind of what I want to do. So let's do it together. Mm-hmm. And I stayed in LA for like 4 to 6 weeks and just was just taking pictures basically.
Wow.
Yeah. And at the time, Pretty Little Thing was sending me like clothes. So I would just like, it wasn't paid or anything, but it was just like gifted and I would just take pictures in them. And it grew from there very quickly.
But like, that is when Instagram used to be the place you do just grow.
And I know we had this conversation like this morning at breakfast, like it's just not the same anymore as it used to be. It's
now,
really hard.
Yeah.
And it can be very competitive. And I feel like people don't interact kind of like they used to.
It's a very, very different place to be.
It is. It can be.
I miss the old Instagram.
Well, I want it back. But yeah, it's just like to see, like, say doing that now
you yeah
I just don't think it would really go anywhere.
No.
Honestly, I don't. But yeah, I grew very quickly. And then after that, so maybe when I was like 18, so maybe like 2 years later, this is when like all the influencer trips were a thing. Yeah. So like everybody was going on influencer trips. And I would honestly be on an influencer trip like once every week. I would be in a different country all the time.
So
like
cool.
Just, yeah, it was amazing. You know, it was so much fun. And it was great because you got to meet different people and make friends.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was great. So that was a whole thing. Yeah, so the HG Brows kind of, I stopped doing it, and then influencing
took over completely.
Yeah, it did.
And were you getting paid at this point?
Yes, I was getting paid at this point. And then I actually joined with an agency.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. My mind went completely blank. I'm like, wow, I'm 26
really
now. Like, this is a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't realize.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was, I was doing that full time. And then I actually moved to London for a while. Mm-hmm. I was doing it there. And then when I was 20, met my husband, which now.
Still feels weird to say.
Yeah. And now I'm like, and this is what happened. So like my Instagram grew so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
You fell in love.
Fell in love, had babies. And it stopped now because obviously I'm very quiet on there. And obviously we'll get to that in a minute, like what the whole story is behind that. But yeah, it just kind of stopped to me. And I feel like I'm at that freeze. I'm like frozen now. Like there's not. I just think it's so hard to grow it now.
Mm-hmm. But also at the same point, you're not putting your love into it in that way right
no,
now.
No, no.
So it's kind of like it's two for two
yeah.
in that sense. But I totally agree with you. It's a completely different place to be at the moment.
Yeah.
I think it's completely different. You can't even compare the two worlds
no.
and how it like used to be. But yeah, what you told me at breakfast really took me back.
Mm-hmm.
So when you had your firstborn, Gabriel.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So when I was pregnant with Gabriel, it was 22. So this was right in the middle of lockdown, by the way. So
yeah.
We were like right smack bang in the middle of lockdown.
Rona was ronering.
Yes.
Yeah.
And obviously I was in Scotland on my own, like no family around me,
no one.
And William could still go to work, so he was still working full time. So I was literally in the house every single day on my own. And when I'm pregnant, I swell like you wouldn't believe, like ridiculous. My nose, my lips, like hands, everything. And I think it's gonna be quite normal, but like my swelling's like another level.
Yeah.
So I was quite worried. Basically, my mum had preeclampsia with me, so I was worried that I had that.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and got a check. And they were like, okay, well, you're fine. Like, everything's okay. But we do have an induction appointment, like, the next morning. So I told you this morning, I did all the hypnobirthing. And obviously, they, like, advise not to do
mm-hmm.
induction.
Mm-hmm.
But you just get to a point where you're like, I've had enough.
I'm
like,
tired.
I can't do this anymore.
It's such a mind game,
I think,
at that stage where you're
it's
literally
a waiting
just
game. And it's, like, mentally very difficult.
Mentally really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think because it was just on my own every single day, like, it just made it so
you
much harder.
You wanted to meet your boy then, probably
yeah,
at that
yeah,
point.
Of course. So went for the induction, and that was just a really long process. It took 3 days before anything happened. And it was just, it was hard because it was just so many different doctors and nurses coming in, poking, prodding. Like, it's not a nice experience.
No.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I don't want to, you know, tell anyone any horror stories, but that's just my experience.
Mm-hmm.
There's some good,
mm-hmm.
you know, stories that I've heard about induction,
mm-hmm.
but that's just my
yeah,
story.
Yeah, me too, actually.
Yeah.
I, like, don't, like, I think it's quite obvious I'm very into, like, the natural hypnobirthing too.
Yeah, which I love. And that's what I wanted. And that's, like, another thing.
And that's so, and I know it didn't happen for you, and it's just nature's way.
Yeah.
But I've also, although I'm not really for like induction, I've also heard great things about
uh-huh.
it. I think
yeah.
it's just not luck of the draw, but it can just swing.
Just goes, yeah,
way.
It can,
yeah,
just
it can
go,
swing
yeah.
either way.
So the rules at the time were you weren't allowed your partner in until you were 3 or 4 centimeters dilated. So
mm-hmm.
I was doing this literally all on my own. And obviously I know all other mums out there that were at the same time, you know,
yeah.
middle of lockdown, trying to give birth as a first-time
so
mum, like, it's hard.
Scary.
It is scary, and, like, I do think I have a bit of trauma from that. Like, 100%. It was hard. So when I was dilated, they said, okay, William, you can come in the room. And basically at that time, they were like, baby is not happy. His heart rate just dropped. And they were like, we need to get him out now. This can be very dangerous. They were like, if we don't do it now, we will just have to put you to sleep, which means you won't get, like, the like skin to skin, which is obviously a very important thing. So they took me down for an emergency C-section and he was out within literally 10 minutes.
It's crazy.
It was the quickest
thing.
Scary.
Yeah.
But I feel like in that moment, I didn't really have time to process what was going on or worry or anything like that.
And it's probably best that way.
Yeah.
It's probably best you don't have that time to worry and fear. And it's just kind of like a whirlwind experience.
It is. And I feel like when people say, like mums say, they have like traumatic births, I think it's not in that moment. You realize it's after.
Yeah.
You actually go home like with your baby and you think, oh my God, that was horrendous. Yeah. Yeah. But in the moment, you just get through it.
Yeah.
You don't think of anything else. And I think that's when you actually become a mum in that moment where like you're just like, I'm going to do anything to get me and my baby through this.
Safely.
Yeah, exactly. So when they put him on my chest, like I just started to swell even more. Like my blood pressure was going really high. Like it was scary and it was just a whole...
palaver.
It was a palaver. So when I was ready to do my like announcement picture, like I'd had Gabriel and like I wanted to obviously share the news. When I posted it on Instagram, when I looked at the picture, I was like, I can see that I look not myself, but I've just been through a really hard birth.
Yeah.
So when I posted it, I was like really excited to like tell everyone, you know, my baby's here.
Yeah.
And it just went the complete opposite way. Like the comments on it, people were like, oh my God, you like Shrek. Like, what a catfish. People were almost like really angry that I looked so different. And the more people that were commenting the nasty comments, the more like people thought, okay, well, I can comment something nasty. Yeah.
It's the problem with these trolls. Once they get a little bit of confidence and once one person does it, it's like never ending.
Yeah. And it was literally like never ending. But then people were like messaging me, sending me DMs saying like, you're so ugly. Like what on earth? Like you did not look like this before. Like what's happened? Are you okay? And honestly, at that time, like I was really struggling anyway. I was really, really struggling. And I would say like from then, like it's just changed the whole way that I look at social media.
Yeah. And that's what makes me really sad.
Yeah.
I think no one deserves trolling and no one deserves to be bullied or sent hurtful messages online. But a mom who's just been through an intense fearful and really hard labor.
Yeah.
Like really doesn't deserve it.
No.
Do you know what I mean? I feel like that's just one level where a mom is so vulnerable. It's like the most vulnerable place a woman can be.
It is. So why
beat a woman down so much when she's so vulnerable?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, like I said to Ella in breakfast, I was like, you should have seen me when I had like I was feeling like I've been dragged through a bush backwards. Like it's I just
you looked amazing like on your pictures, but
but it just blows my mind how like you received that. Like that makes me really sad. And then when
just
you said
blowing.
That
just...
people were coming for Gabe, like
oh, and then that's another thing. So people were like, your baby's ugly. Wait, what's wrong with him? And honestly, it was. But this was like not just like a couple of days. Like this was ongoing for weeks and weeks and weeks until the point where I was like, I feel like I just want to
run away
and hide and just never use social media again. And I don't know like why people were so angry, but
it's the most bizarre thing.
It was, and it was just horrible. And I really struggled anyway. Like after I had Gabriel with like the emergency C-section and recovering on my own again, it was in the middle of lockdown. Like I had no one around me. Mm-hmm. It was such a difficult time. Mm-hmm. And that just didn't help.
No.
It was just putting me down even more. It was really hard.
And you really feel like that was quite pivotal for you in how you use social media now.
Yeah.
And like I guess you said, I'm really quiet. I don't really post as much anymore.
Yeah. And it's because of that. Like,
well, there's your answer.
Yeah.
If people wondering.
I'm a bit traumatized from it. And I think now, like when I post, I just second guess everything all the time because I'm like, oh my God, what can people say about this? What can people say about
that?
Really, because I'm just scared
sad.
That people are going to find something to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've just definitely seen a different side to it.
100%. And I was saying to Ella, like even since this podcast, like luckily prior to the podcast, I never really experienced that world of trolling, and I feel very, very blessed to have been protected from that. But then since this podcast, well, that's been ripped off, and you get it all, and it's really difficult, and you can be sat quite disheartened.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, even when I did one of the previous podcast and it got a bit of backlash. Like, I was like, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to do it anymore. And you almost do feel like you start to limit yourself.
100%. You get to that point where you're like, oh, I can't do this. Yeah. Like, it's just not. Can you imagine like walking around the street and people coming up to you saying,
no, well, they wouldn't.
You look like Shrek. You're fat.
It's
you're
the this, Shrek you're that. For me.
Thinking about it, I'm like, Shrek. Oh my God, Shrek, what on earth? I mean, I was very swollen. My nose is very large, but like, there's not really much.
Shrek, don't see the resemblance, babe. He's green.
At least we can laugh about it now. Like, I'm actually at that point where I can laugh about it. But see, at that time, I was like really taking it to heart.
Of course.
Yeah, I think.
I think anybody would, be like, even me thinking, I would be absolutely heartbroken.
Yeah.
It's meant to be like one of the most like exciting times of your life to share something like that.
I know, and not that it took it away from me, but like it kind of did ruin it a little bit because I was like so excited to tell everybody, and I was like, oh, well, that's not the reaction that I thought I was going to get.
No.
You know.
So. And do you think you'll come to a place in the future where you really ramp it back up and you really put your love and soul back into it? Or do you feel like the ship's gone now and it's not really where your heart wants to be anymore?
I don't know. Like I always say this, I always say like, I think the ship's like sailed for me. Like, I don't think I can go back and do it anymore. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I know this is my friends being my friends are like, oh, no, carry on. Like, we love watching you, you know.
Yeah, we do.
Post, and we love seeing, you know, what you do put online. So I don't know. I feel like I always get to like the halfway point.
Yeah.
And I just can't push myself like any further than
maybe
that.
Maybe it will just come naturally one time when you least expect it. Maybe like when the boys have gone off to school or whatever and you've got more time just to really think about you and what like you want.
Maybe.
I think sometimes it's difficult when you're juggling everything.
It is. Yeah.
I think that's probably something maybe that I feel when I think, oh, I just want to put more love into this or start, but I'm like, I can't though, because you're pulled in all different directions. Yeah. You're like an old octopus and your arms are going each way. You just don't know.
And that's another thing as well we were saying this morning, and like you were saying as well, when you have kids, like the things that you thought were important before you had kids.
Oh my goodness.
Are no longer important.
No.
When you have like your babies.
You get humbled so quick. 100%.
You get brought back down to earth. Like literally. Very quickly.
Well, first of all, we hope you one day really... I don't think you're... I think you're being actually a little bit hard on yourself. I don't think you're as quiet as maybe as you probably feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially around like your wedding and stuff. That was really cool.
Yeah, I did share quite a lot in the wedding.
And it's so nice that you shared that, because I think that's such... People love to see wedding journeys.
Yeah.
It's so exciting.
Yeah, I still got so many messages about my wedding. Like people like...
It was so amazing.
Oh, it was just so...
Were you always... Tell us a little bit about that journey, actually. So where did you get proposed to?
Where were you? In the house.
No.
Yeah, in the living room, in the middle of lockdown. Yeah, yep. Do you know what? This is actually such a nice story. There was a bag that I've wanted for years, like years and years and years.
Can we know the bag?
It's just a black Chanel. Well, I say just a black Chanel bag. Yeah. Like it's a bag that I've had like saved on my camera roll for a very long time. And basically it was like a vintage. You couldn't really get it. Mm-hmm. So William found this bag and he was like, okay, well, this is how I did it. But he put it in the living room.
The bag,
just on the sofa.
Okay.
And was like, he phoned me and he was like, I've got something for you. Uh-huh. And when I came down the stairs, was upstairs at the time, I was like 25 weeks pregnant. So I was probably just lay on the bed, just watching TV, like can't even remember what I was doing. Exactly. So I came downstairs and he'd had the, like his camera like set up filming me.
No, he didn't.
And I was like, what are you filming me for? I was like, turn that off. Uh-huh. Cause I just felt huge. I just didn't feel nice about this. I was like, turn that off. And then when I walked in the room, the bag was sitting on the chair, and I was like, oh my God, it was like, that's why you were filming me, to see my reaction, because like I really really wanted this bag. So I was like, oh, thank you so much. And I didn't open it, I was just like putting it on, like looking in the mirror, and he was like, open it. But I could see him, like he had his phone like under his arm, like recording. I'm like, what is it? So I looked in the pocket and there was like a ring box. And when I opened the ring, so the engagement ring was on there and in the box. And when I turned around, he was on his knee.
Like, were you cool with that? Yeah.
Because
the wedding was like the wedding was crazy.
I was really cool with that.
You got married. Was it Kate? No.
Amalfi Coast.
What did I want to?
Amalfi Coast.
I don't know what I was thinking in my head. Was that always the dream wedding destination?
Yeah. It was either Ibiza or Amalfi Coast, and I'd actually never been to Italy, but it was somewhere that was always on my bucket list. And I was like, okay, well, let's just go and see it. And if we love it, we'll just get married there. And we instantly fell in love. We were like, let's make this happen. Like, let's do it.
It's
because
like the place,
it is,
isn't it? Insane.
Yeah, and we were really lucky that we were able to have like all friends and family fly over to be at the wedding. So it was just, it made it even more special. Yeah. It was amazing.
Any like any regrets when you look back at the wedding? Or like any like tips for anyone watching, like do's or don'ts? Like what?
Maybe like minor regrets. Like I had a dress change, which I would definitely do. Like I think that's a really nice thing to do. Like it was one thing picking your wedding dress, but then see picking a second dress. If you can do it, like I think it's just so nice to do that, to get changed. I wish my second dress was like a more fitted dress.
I can't remember your second dress. Like I remember obviously the wedding dress. What was
it? It was like kind of puffy and it had a belt. I wouldn't say it was fitted. And do you know what? I actually think that's
my
only regret.
Did you want something a bit more like sexy? And was it still a bit too like wedding?
Yeah, that's my only regret. But do you know what? Everything else, like, perfect. It just was so perfect. And it was everything that I ever dreamed of. And it was just the most magical day. It was really the most magical day. And honestly, when people say it goes fast, it literally, flew by. And you kind of like see at the end of the night, I was like, that day is just, today has just gone so
fast. How did you feel walking down the aisle?
Just magical.
I did cry. Quite an overwhelming emotional.
It is. And see when like the music's on, because obviously you pick a song to walk down the aisle too, and it's like quite emotional. It's just, and I think it's just because you think, well, hopefully I'll only ever do this once in my life. But obviously, like you do, you think this is only one time. Yeah, I'll do this. And it's just an emotional time. And my little brother walked down the aisle. Yeah, my little brother walked down the aisle. He's, that made me emotional. He's only 18. And he did such a good job, and he did a speech, and he was incredible. He did a very good job.
Are you happy to touch on why your dad wasn't with you?
So when I was 16, my dad sadly passed away. He actually committed suicide. So I know we touched topic on this before, but like when I say like my life from 16 to 20 was a blur, that's what I mean by that. Like when he passed away. I never get upset with this.
Sorry, babes. If you don't want to talk about it, we don't have to.
No, it's fine. It was just very unexpected.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't want you to get upset. But let it go. It's fine. I just 100%. It's so crazy.
This is my therapy,
we
remember?
We spoke about this at breakfast, so, and you were strong and confident around it. It's the bright lights. It does something to people, I'm telling you.
I think because I know this is, everybody's going to see this, and it's not something... It's just not something
I ever talk
about. And
we're going to 100% take this out if you feel like you don't want to put it in.
No, I'm happy to keep it in. It was just very unexpected, and we didn't actually know that he had like any
problems
like mental. Yeah. Like we didn't know he was depressed or had mental health or anything like that. He just didn't show any signs, and I know that is quite a common thing. Like you never know.
Yeah.
So
that they say that they suffer.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And it was just very unexpected. So when it happened, I was coming in from the gym, and we were actually very close. So like I lived with my mum at the time, and my dad lived like 5 minutes from my mum's house.
Yeah.
And I was coming in from the gym, and I walked to my house, and I just knew something was off.
Yeah.
The house was just so quiet.
Yeah.
And I walked in the living room. My mum was sat like on the sofa in complete silence. And this sounds really like silly to say, but the week before this happened, I had two cats that I loved so much. And I thought my mum was going to tell me that one of my cats had passed away. But obviously she said it wasn't. She said the police have just called us and your dad's passed away.
Yeah.
And I never thought they were going to tell me that
it was going to be a dad.
And I never thought they were going to tell me that he'd commit suicide, because I'd literally seen him the day before and he was like so happy and just himself. It was just crazy.
It's the saddest story, I think. And I think that when they say like people who are struggling with mental health, they really suffer in silence, like they really do.
He must have been feeling a really
He must have been in a certain lot of pain.
Way, yeah, to do that. And it's just the thought of it's just really sad. But he did leave a note to me and my sister, like just saying how sorry he was and stuff. And that was obviously hard.
Of course.
He kept that and he put it in like a card. And
do you speak to your boys about him, or do you want to keep it very much? Like, are they going to know about granddad or?
Do you know what? I've never really thought about this, but I was actually thinking about it the other day because I thought, well, when they're a bit older and they say,
"Where's
mummy? Where's your daddy?"
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh my God, I have to explain to them. But I haven't really thought about that yet of how I'm going to break that down to them and tell them, you know. But they, I think they're just growing up now knowing that. I don't think they'll even ask.
Yeah, maybe, like, potentially not.
You know, and it's just something I've not really thought about yet. But, you know, when I'll cross that bridge when I come to it.
Do you feel like, how do you feel like losing your dad at such, because 16 is such an impressionable age.
It's a really hard age in general.
It's a really difficult age. Yeah. I think everybody at 16 can relate to going through something of some sort, male, female, it doesn't matter.
You're obviously just leaving school, trying to figure out what you want to do with your life. And that definitely just took a big toll on me. And I just, it was messy. I didn't know.
So you felt that it really affected you mentally in that way, in a way?
Yeah, I went through a lot of different emotions, anger, upset, confusion, and almost like, when I started to feel like, okay, well, I'm a bit happy and I'm getting my life back on track, it was like guilt. Because I'm like, I'm not, my dad's just passed away. I'm not allowed to be happy.
Yeah.
Like, I shouldn't even be smiling. I shouldn't be happy. And that was really hard to get over that hurdle of like allowing myself to be happy.
I totally get it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And moving on with your head held high when but you've effectively just lost half of your heart, because
100%
I can understand how that would be really, really difficult. But I'm sure everything, like, you do being a great mom now, you do with him in mind. And
100%. And like, from, you know, the years of being 16 to 20 before I had kids, well, 22, I feel like I never had a purpose, but now I've got my boys, like, I'm like, they are my purpose and just keeps me going every single day, like,
Like, thank you for sharing that with us.
No problem.
That's like a really, I know you've not touched on it, and
a lot of my friends actually don't know.
And you don't want to talk to them about it, or is it something that
I just never talk about it ever? I never talk about it.
It potentially is almost like coping mechanism.
It is.
Sometimes people's way of dealing with it is just to not forget about it, but just to not even talk about it, and that's okay as well.
Yeah. I think that is, for me, definitely my coping mechanism, but. Yeah, I just never speak about it, never bring it up. When people say, like, oh, does your mum and dad have, like, your kids a lot? I'm like, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just don't even scrape the subject. I'm like, so when people say, oh, like, how's your dad? I'm like, he's fine. Just don't even go into it.
Wow.
Yeah, as much as that. Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, so this is, like, a huge thing for me to, like, talk about this, for people to know this. And I think that's why sometimes when whole thing happened on social media, like with the bad comments, it affected me even more.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. I feel a little bit like, there's not many times people can shut me up, is it? You shut me right up. Like, I just think it's very impactful. I think to first of all be so like courageous to talk about it on here, but also the fact that like how you were dealing with it like previously, like just kind of losing one parent, do you feel like it brought you closer to your mom, or was that always just a strong relationship in itself?
Yeah, we've always been quite close anyway, but obviously because I live so far away from her, we are still very close, but it's quite hard to be like extra close because
physically?
I'm not anywhere near her, and obviously trying to pack everything up and take the boys down like every week to see my mom and like go back,
it's,
I wouldn't even call it home anymore, but go back to Manchester. It's just, see the thought of it.
Yeah.
I'm like, no thanks.
Yeah. Even like, just to get one child in the car to go to London, like, let alone
to get one child in the car to go to Tesco, like, that's a whole military mission.
But it is a military mission. But thank you for sharing that. So before you had, just going back to pre-babies, I just found, like, your like stories you were telling me just so interesting. Like it was a little bit of like a, not a party life, but for those who don't know, you were working at Ocean Beach in Ibiza. Yeah. Like tell us a little bit about that.
So that was like when the influence trips were coming to an end a little bit. I was like, okay, well now what? Mm-hmm. Like what do we do now? So mm-hmm. went to
there was this kind of time where they were a thing.
And they
like it's not a thing anymore. They're very seasonal now, like sometimes in the winter.
Yeah, maybe
like
yeah.
a ski
yeah.
trip. But they're yeah, nowhere seen... near us.
No.
Cost
no,
of
no,
living
no.
crisis, hun. Like.
Exactly. So.
It's crazy.
I went to Ibiza just because I think this was so used to being away all the time with these yeah. trips. I was like, I didn't really know what to do with myself. Even though I was still doing brows, I just was like, okay, well, I'm going to get away. So me and my friend decided we were going to go to Ibiza mm-hmm. and get a job at Ocean Beach.
How was that?
I really didn't like it. So okay. I literally just went. Like an interview and I was like, this is not for me. When she was at work, I would just
what would you do?
Go to the beach, sit at the beach all day, and then she would help me like with my pitches and things like that when mm-hmm. she finished. But my friend was also kind of wanting to do that at the time as well. Mm-hmm. So one of the days we were actually out and there was, I don't know what you call them, like what are they called, like when they come around and like cast not chaperones, I'm saying the wrong thing.
Well, I don't know what you're going to say.
Like when...
The Love Island thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like scout you.
Scout. That's yeah. the word I'm looking for. Yeah. So there was two girls and they came over to me and my friend and they were like, we would love to have you as bombshells on Love Island. Would you be up for doing an interview? Uh-huh. And honestly, at the time, I was like, is she joking? Is this for real? So she gave us her number mm-hmm. and I actually went and did 3 interviews.
For
to be
Love
a bombshell
Island.
Yeah, for Love Island.
And what are they like? Like what do they ask you?
Loads of, it's kind of like this. So it's actually filmed. Your like audition types, they film okay. it. So, so okay. it's an audition type uh-huh. and just random questions like about your past, about your exes, job, mm-hmm. what you like as a person. Mm-hmm. So I did 3 interviews and I didn't get the
callback.
I never got a callback.
Uh-huh.
And then fast forward like 6 months later, I got a call back. Maybe it's a bit longer than that. Maybe like a year. I got mm-hmm. a call back and they were like, we'd love to have you back for another interview. But this time it would be to go in as
the like, OG,
like an OG original. Yeah. But I'd met William at this stage and I was like, look, like I'm out the game now. Like guys, I'm out of the game. Like yeah. I am married off. Wasn't even engaged at this point, but I'm married off. And I knew he was the one. See, when people say, when you know,
yeah,
that's real.
Okay.
That's true.
What was it about him that you knew?
Just when we went on a date, like he would open the door for me uh-huh. and just very polite, pull out my chair, very old fashioned. And I'd never
There's
had that before.
With that.
I love like-
We love an old fashioned man.
I love that.
Yeah, so, chivalry.
Yeah, like from a very young age, I always knew that I wanted to have kids. I wanted to get married. Mm-hmm. More so my dad passing away. Like I was like, I want my own strong-
Unit.
Family unit.
Yeah.
That's always what I've wanted. Mm-hmm. And because he was, he's 10 years older than me. Mm-hmm. So he was ready for that. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, well, this could work. And yeah. I just knew. So yeah, I was like, guys, I'm out of the game. Sorry.
Take me off your list.
Take me off, rub me off that list.
Don't call me back.
No. But my friend did actually end up getting on and she did amazing. She did amazing. Yeah. So that was...
Isn't it just mad? Like you can just live so many different little lives in one life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's crazy. But yeah, I wouldn't say like I had a major party, like life.
No, just for like traveled
past,
loads.
Past.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And lived it.
Yeah, just traveling.
Yeah.
Meeting people.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And now fast forward into real time with your kiddies and you're living in Glasgow. Talk to us about the brow agency.
Oh, this is my new baby.
Yes.
I love tell it so much.
So tell us first when the idea came about, how you went into design.
I was going to say I brought a pencil with me, but it's up there. So I might try and reach, but it's okay. See, like... And this sounds ridiculous. See, like when you go to the bathroom and you top up your lip gloss.
Yeah.
And you always have like a lip balm or a lip gloss in your bag.
Yeah.
I always have my brow pencil.
Is it your thing?
Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I need to top up my brows.
Okay.
I need to go to the bathroom. Like, that is a thing. And
oh, so no, I've never felt that. The brows would be the last thing I touch. I couldn't care less about
it. I still do my lip gloss, but like, say if I look in the mirror and I'm like, my brows need topped up.
Okay.
I get my pencil. I always have a pencil on me.
No.
Always.
Okay.
So the brow agency is my new baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people just think that I've randomly brought some brow products out. Like, that's not the case. Like, I have actually been a brow artist for 10 years. Like, mm-hmm. It's a long time. And
no, it definitely aligns with you.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was brows random at all. Thing. I'm like, that's her thing.
Brows are my thing. So, yeah, I've done brows for 10 years, brow artist for 10 years. And the whole idea came around because when I was doing my clients, you're not supposed to put any makeup on after you've waxed eyebrows. Like, mm-hmm. it's not recommended. Mm-hmm. But when my clients were like going out after they'd had the brows done, mm-hmm. go into the shops or whatever, they'd say, could you pop a bit of concealer on my eyebrows, a bit of pencil?
Yeah.
Like, they'd call it a finish. So my clients would say, can you do a quick finish on me?
Yeah.
And when I was doing the brows, in my pot, I would have literally 20 different pencils, like 20 different colours, because you know, my clients had like red hair, dark mm-hmm. hair. Mm-hmm. So I was like, that's where the idea came around. I was like, imagine just having one eyebrow pencil mm-hmm. that you just use on everybody. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to make this work.
So is that effectively your like business prop there? Like that one pencil, because I was lucky enough to receive the PR and it is really good. I didn't know that one pencil fits all.
Mm-hmm. It's a universal shade. So it's basically like with eyebrow pencils, sometimes you can get them and they've got like really warm tones or like really orangey tones.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can't really tell, but when you put it on, like, so say if you were to use it and then I were to use it on someone with mm-hmm. like ginger ginger eyebrows, mm-hmm. it obviously wouldn't be the same because of the tones, like mm-hmm. the warm tones. Mm-hmm. But the pencil that I've got, it's got like no warm tones, no orangey tones.
How does that work though, like science-wise? Isn't that crazy?
It's a secret ingredient. That's all I'm going to say. It's a secret ingredient.
You can't give us the secret.
It's like Willy Wonka's recipe. I'm not giving away my secrets.
And have you had good feedback so far?
Amazing feedback.
Yeah.
I think people are like, that's never going to work. Like, how does that actually work?
I would probably be one of those people.
Then when people have actually purchased a pencil and messaged me and been like, this is weird.
Yeah.
Like, how does this actually work?
Uh-huh.
Like, because this works on me, and I've got lighter eyebrows, but then my friend's got like dark, thick, coarse eyebrows, and uh-huh. she's like, this is like my colour.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, it's my colour.
And the soap?
Yep.
Just talk to me about like how you came, so, because I'll be honest, I struggle with brow soaps.
Do you use like a gel on your eyebrows?
Well, I've been using yours.
I was going to say.
It's taken me a while to like get my head around it. I've tried a few brow soaps in the past and they've been disastrous. Mm-hmm. Yours wasn't disastrous.
Okay, so.
But it just takes me a while to get my head around the whole brow soap thing.
So the brow soap idea was basically, so you know, like you have like your brow gel.
Yeah.
And when you put it on, it sticks your eyebrows up. But then when you wipe it off, I always find that when you wipe it off, the hair of your eyebrow comes out because it's so, makes your eyebrows so hard.
Yeah.
So basically we came up with the idea of the soap. So you put it on, it makes your eyebrows go really hard and solid. Like, obviously you want them to stick, keep them in place.
Yeah.
But then when you wipe it off, it turns back into a soap.
Uh-huh.
So it just glides off your eyebrows. Uh-huh. So you've not got any hair coming out. You're not uh-huh. trying to like scrub it off.
Uh-huh.
And also it's made with like castor oil, shea butter. It's good for your eyebrows.
Yeah.
So like if you're on an eyebrow growing journey.
Yeah.
It's actually so good for your eyebrows.
Okay.
Helps stimulate that growth. It's really good. So you can also use it, like I put it on before I go to bed.
Do you?
Keep them brushed up.
Yeah.
But I'm not being biased. I know it's my own product, but it is truly an incredible product. It's really, really nice.
I have been enjoying it. I it's a tough competition for me because I love the NYX one.
I've tried that. I'm, yeah, that is good.
I'm the NYX, the... Mm-hmm. So it's always tough competition because mm-hmm. I think that is really good. But
yeah.
I have, like, hand on heart actually been using it. And what I love the most was your packaging. I thought it was so luxurious and bougie. I was like, oh, I even had like a little letter with the stamp.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh!
I wanted to go to town on the packaging.
You went to town on
yes,
the packaging.
I love receiving like products and they've got really nice packaging.
Yeah, I really felt a
thrill out of it. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, and was it, so, but that's expensive, no?
The
investment in that packaging, it's not cheap packaging,
but I just wanted to deliver something really luxury.
It's
and
so luxury
also as well, like something you can take the inside of the box out and use the box
use
it as you want, but I just wanted to come up with something a bit different and something that I've not seen before. The packaging's UK. So my mum actually makes the soap.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so she makes it. Actually, it takes 6 weeks to make. And then you've got to leave it to cure. Yeah. Wow. So that's another thing as well. And it's all organic. It's vegan. Soapy's vegan, which is really important.
That's really cool though, that your mum makes it.
Yeah.
That's like really cool. Yeah. And then does it get packaged at home?
Packaged at home. She does it. She's like got a room dedicated to the brow agency. It's just a big room. It's got all the packaging. She does it herself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And she ships them.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So she's such a big help because of, obviously I've got two boys as well, like trying to do that.
Oh yeah. It's difficult. I don't know if anyone's into it, but like I'm really into Dragon's Den. Do you ever watch it?
Love
your product.
Dragon's Den is so good.
You need to go
good.
On it with a brow, like, agency. Not that you need it, but
I would love
to. Because they love the UK homegrown. Mm-hmm. Made it. Oh God, they'd eat you up.
I would love to do that, but I'm just... I'll practice, but I just feel like I'm not a very good... I think I'd just melt when I started speaking.
It does look a bit daunting. It does look a bit scary, doesn't it?
It does. It looks very scary because... Imagine how intimidating that would be. Scary.
I know, but when you've got a strong product, nothing can intimidate
you. I suppose,
yeah.
If you're very confident about your product and you know it's amazing product, then, sorry, it wouldn't be that intimidating,
literally. So, yeah, I've already touched on a lot of the questions because actually I've just kind of done one big merge of this because I just thought it was really cool to hear about, like, Ella's story, and I really think she's lived, like, such a fun life. But I'm going to talk a little... There's a few that I've missed that we'll talk specifically. So a lot of people have just asked you about being a working mom, so yeah. Having your brow agency and influencing. Yeah. I know you're still doing a little bit on the side, not as much, and having two babies to juggle. So any advice you have, how do you juggle it? I know you've touched on, you have got William's mom around.
Yeah,
that helps a lot.
Yeah, she helps a lot.
But in essence, your kind of like vibes on that one?
Just don't put too much pressure on yourself. You know, some days it's you can't do both. It's impossible. Like your babies need you more some days than they do others. They need you every day, but some days they need you more. And
so true.
On those days, don't put too much pressure on yourself. Like you can't be in two places at once. So just take it day by day. By the way, it is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. Like I genuinely did this thinking it's gonna be so easy. Mm-hmm. No. Like I was being very silly. Like it's not easy.
I'd say I was in that similar mindset when I got pregnant with Zig. I was like, oh God, I can do this. Yeah. Like nothing's gonna be impacted. I'll just do it side by side. I'll carry on jumping around.
But you do make
fitness.
It look that way, by the way. You do like
No.
Easy.
On the inside I'm like a crumbling mess. But my goodness, was I humbled. Like, what a naive mindset I had. So, like, and I think actually probably, Ella, like, a lot of moms, first-time moms, probably do go into it in that sense because you don't really know how it is until it happens.
No.
And you don't really you know don't. What it is until it happens.
Yeah, but I do blame social media for that sometimes.
Yeah, it's very a warped vision, isn't it?
It is, 100%.
But I do think the culture is moving in a better way with it.
It is, I agree.
Especially with TikTok now.
Yeah.
It's a lot more, this is reality.
I do think we needed that app.
Huh?
I think we needed that
app. We did need that, didn't we? I think it's been part of the shift problem with Instagram, but I think we, deep down, we needed it. It's brought a bit of life, soul, and fun back into the social media app. So someone asked, you got into such great shape so quickly after baby number one before your wedding. You were in amazing shape. Did you do anything in specifics, or was that all just like breastfeeding and being a mom that...
It's made me realize now. So when I was pregnant first time, I worked out every single day throughout my pregnancy.
Wow.
See, when I had Gabriel, like 6 weeks later, I was back in my size 6 jeans.
Wow.
This time I didn't work out once. And now I'm struggling to get into a size 10 jeans. But it's crazy like how different it is working out in your pregnancy. I know not everybody can do it because you're sick. I was really sick this time.
With Tobias?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
you can't work out.
I couldn't. It was just too hard. But like
but
the difference.
But you weren't sick with Gabriel?
No.
That blows my mind.
I know.
I don't
get
it.
How does that work?
I don't know.
I know.
Okay.
It's strange. But we were speaking about this, about the difference.
Yeah.
Like postpartum, struggling with different things postpartum.
Yes.
You think it's going to be the same, but it's not.
No.
Yeah.
You can tell us a little bit more about that. Don't be shy.
Yeah, well, the first time I was pregnant, postpartum first time, struggled with like, was it the C-section? That's a whole other thing, like recovering. Mascara actually ended up getting infected, so it took me back, like one step forward, two steps back.
Yeah.
And just there was loads of different things, like the breastfeeding I struggled. I did
mentally
end up doing
it,
yeah,
tough.
We were speaking about that as well.
Yeah.
Like it's really, really tough. Mm-hmm. Like the pressure it has on you to feed your baby every single day. Mm-hmm.
It's day and night, sister.
Day and night. Oh, and the nights.
They're that little bit more intense, ooh, aren't they?
Yeah, they're intense. But then this time, I struggled. I actually struggled more this time because I had baby brain. Mm-hmm. That is a real thing. Mm-hmm. Like, people joke about baby brain. No. It's no joke. Like, I would cry. I still cry sometimes because I'm like, my memory is so bad. I was putting car keys in the fridge and, like,
oh, right, okay.
That bad. Delirious. Really, really bad. Yeah. And I would get really upset about it because I'm like, I don't know how long I can cope with this. Like, it's too much.
It's hard, isn't it? I was talking to my friend about this the other day. It's like, you really just lose yourself and you have to put not only so much energy into being a mom and keeping your babies alive, but like almost to like rebuilding yourself. Like, it's a really out of body experience feeling. And you just sometimes feel like you're floating, mm-hmm. and you just this kind of like being, but you've got no real like purpose, but you do have purpose, but no direction, but you do have direction. It's just the craziest, most deliriously great but horrendous thing.
It is, and that's the thing. It is great, but it's like crazy and delirious, and you're like,
and it's traumatizing but great, and it's beautiful, but you just want to cry all the time. It's just the most juxtaposition situation.
Some days I'm like, this is horrendous, but I just love it.
It's crazy, but I love it. That is so true.
I cry every day, but I love it.
Yeah, you just kind of like flipping drawn on a bit. Differences between Manchester and Scotland. What are the positives and the negatives? I don't know why, but I picture Scotland to be this really just like slow-paced place. And I think I would be really wrong saying that.
Opposite.
Yeah.
Opposite, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, they're kind of similar in a way.
Manchester and Scotland?
A little bit.
Okay.
I think maybe not actually. I think it's just maybe like the nightlife.
Okay. Is it good nightlife?
Yeah, it is. It is actually.
Glasgow.
Yeah, a lot of people are up for going out, having a good time. Yeah. So
Scottish people are fun, aren't they?
Not that I don't drink or anything. I don't go out. No. So I don't even know what I'm talking about. Yeah. But Manchester, obviously, I have my Manchester friends there, Mancunian friends that I miss so much. Mm-hmm. So that's obviously.
It's always difficult moving away.
It's so hard being a woman not having like mum friends because you can't like everything.
There's no relatability.
There's not. Work. That's why it's hard.
Yeah, for
you've
sure.
got mum friends, don't you?
I've got mum friends. Yeah. I actually
love that for you.
When I had when Ziggy was born, I had no mum friends, but I kind of just threw myself in the deep end with like the baby classes and just met people along the way, and now I have some really good. I don't have loads of mom friends.
I don't think you need loads.
Good strong five.
Yeah, I think you just need like one or two.
Like, yeah, because also life is busy. It's like you can't keep up with everyone.
Yeah.
But obviously now my best friend has just had a baby, and that probably is going to be that's amazing because so nice. Then you really can so relate nice. On a whole yeah. other level. And
yeah, and you can help her and guide her when she's having her off days, which you do.
Which we have a lot of those. Well, you're going away soon, aren't you?
Yes.
So that would be lovely. I always think creating content on holidays really nice.
Yeah, it is. But then I just kind of get lost away. Like I don't really have my phone when I'm on holiday. Like,
oh, you don't?
I'm the opposite.
And I'm really, really? Like, okay. See, I really enjoy doing holiday content. Yeah. I feel like brings it out in me more.
Yeah, I wish I was like that. Maybe I should try and be a bit more like that.
Babe, just, you do what works for you.
Yeah, I'm always on holiday. I'm always in the moment. Like, I do actually try not to go on my phone.
That's lovely.
Yeah, because I think that's time where you should try and like just
switch off. Maybe
switch
I should
off.
Take a note out of your book.
But then, you know, you got to do what you got to do. You got to work. You got to just do it.
Any final thoughts from you? Anything you want to say finally on this poddy before we wrap up? Because we've had a lovely little, what's the word I want to use? Time's up.
Cut.
Anything you want to add in?
I just want to say thanks for having me.
No, thanks for being here. Ella's so supportive of the podcast. She messaged me after every episode drops.
I don't watch many podcasts, but I do watch yours.
And that means a lot to me, you know.
I really like your, I think because they're so like laid back.
Yeah.
I feel honestly like I genuinely feel like I feel like a new person right now. I feel like I've just been in therapy.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
it seems to have that effect on people. Quite a lot of people say that. Yeah. They're like, oh,
I think you're a good listener. That's what it is.
Oh, do you think?
100%.
Oh, that's good then. I think I've learned that with this podcast as well. Like the first episode I was like And I'm like, no, just sit back and shut up, Lucy. Which I think is great. Isn't it great that that podcast brought this side out of me as well? Like not talking too much because I can't talk for England. But no, I'm so appreciative of Ella coming all the way from Glasgow and leaving her babies for me, which is such a huge thing. Any moms listening, we know how much of a big deal that is. And it's been so good to have you.
Thank
and
you
also
for
meet
me.
You in person. I've followed Ella for ages. And it's
vice
so nice.
Versa.
And I feel like it's so weird when I like have guests on that like I've followed for ages, I've never met, but I've known for years. Like it's so not weird.
Like, can we just agree that you had literally have like this is the best job ever, like literally getting to know everybody, like all the past. Just meeting new people, like it's so nice.
Good. And that's like I was just saying to Ella previously, like that's the whole part of this podcast. It's like bringing to life like people we love to see on the internet, but we don't really know because we just see this picture. But let's like pull the picture apart and like find out about them and some of the stuff you've shared. It's going to impact people more than you know.
So I hope so.
Thank you for doing that, especially the bit about your dad. Yeah. I think that's
really one
powerful.
Of the main reasons why I was like, okay, well, I'm going to talk about it because. Hopefully
you never know who you're going to touch, and I think
exactly
you'll probably touch a lot more people than people even realize. So thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks for watching. If you've made it to the end, please like, share, comment, subscribe, anything you can do. Of course, it's always so much appreciated, and we will be back next week with another episode. Yay. Thanks, bye.